Can I ask y'all, how many have been stretched a little bit more than usual lately? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you on me, I'm going to tell you about me. The other day, yesterday, I was with Linda. Before I get through, I'll tell you this. I love this. I thought about Eddie. when Eddie was a little boy, his uncle gave him a harmonica for his birthday. And so, Eddie looks at his uncle and says, "Thanks for the harmonica that you gave me. It's the best birthday present ever." The uncle said, "Well, that's great. What songs can you play?" And he said, "Oh, I don't play it. Mom gives me $1 a day not to play it during the day, and Dad gives me $5 a week not to play it at night." That's the hybrid book. All right.
I like that.
That's for you.
All right. So yesterday, I remember Linda and I were done some other things, and Linda and I were going to her mother's house trying to get stuff ready so we could get it sold. I can't believe how much stuff's still in that house. And we're still trying to get it sold, and then we had people come in and disrupting the flow, and it was really, really hot. And so Linda's on the way to get some gas at the gas station. I always like to comfort gas for her, especially though she was tired. So I went with her, pulled up beside her, and I said, "I'm going to give you some gas, and I'll get your gas." And so I pumped her gas. I went ahead and washed her windshield. I went and washed my windshield, found a bad spot, and tried to clean it. I get through, and I put the windshield washer up, which was not beside me, go all the way across, three more pumps, put it down, come back, took out my gas pump, loaded me up, got in Earl, we call my car Earl, her car Pearl. And so I got in Earl, and she was in Pearl, and I texted her, I said, "Let's go." And I was waiting for her to go in front of me, but instead she gets in and gets out. I said, "Why is she getting out?" And she goes, and she walks around to the back of the car, and I said, "What is she doing?" So I get out of the car and go with her. And when I got out of the car, I left the nozzle in her truck. So if she'd have pulled away, she'd have pulled the gas nozzle and everything. And that would not have been a very, very good day. And she looked at me and I said, "Yeah, stress, every now and then stress can do stuff like that." So although you may not show the signs of losing your temper or losing your cool or being short with people, it still can weigh heavy on you and make you do some things that you wouldn't normally do. It's like leaving a gas nozzle in a vehicle and telling your wife to take off. Okay? So again, it's been pretty stressful, you know, like with Sierra. Sierra was cardiac intensive care in Greenville, and then there was a time where she really got really, really bad off, and they put a crash cart outside her door. And she saw that and got worse, and so DC said, "Can y'all please move the crash cart?" So they put a wheelchair there and put a defibrillator in. And so that kind of stressed on a 20-year-old. And not being able to find the problem, and it was getting worse. Well, of course, now they've got the right kind of medicines, and she's doing good. She hadn't had an attack in 3 days, and they're going to do another heart. And the heart ablation, they couldn't fix it at the time, 3 hours in there, instead of getting me to do it again in another couple of weeks. So that's stressful. And not to mention the other folks that have had problems, and some people that got sick and needed CPR, all kinds of stuff. So this whole week, for a lot of people that I know, it's been very, very stressful. Another word we use for stress is to be wired up. You know, somebody gets stressed, they get all wired up. So I'm just going to make a little funny for a minute. Just a little funny, and then we're going to get into some serious stuff. Remember, this was not what I was going to preach this week. I was going to preach on an attack or innovation, how to take care of the innovation. And I've talked about the Eagle so many times, but this is going to be a little bit different. And this is what the Lord showed me. I really believe that this is for today's service. But 10 signs that you're wired. Number one, you answer the door before people knock. Number nine, you get a speed ticket while you're parked. "I didn't do anything, officer." No, number eight, you chewed other people's fingernails. I don't chew other people's fingernails, but I know how tight my daddy was when we were younger. On Friday nights, he'd take us to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we'd lick other people's fingers. He was tired. Number seven, you walk 20 miles on your treadmill before you realize it's not plugged in. Number six, you can channel surf faster without a remote. Whoa. Number five, you can outlast the Energizer Bunny. My wife says I can do that anyway. Number four, you short out motion detectors. Number three, you have a cry over spilled milk. Number two, you help your dog chase his tail. You wore out. You are stressed out. You help your dog chase his tail. Number one, Charles Manson thinks you need to calm down. You are stressed out. I know the younger people might not know Charles Manson, but we know Charles Manson. We know of him and how crazy he was. So now, one of my favorite scriptures, and just one we just had was one of my favorite ones too, that just came into me before we started the service today. And it is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. I stand on that one so many times. I quote it to myself. I believe it. I know that God's got this, and I trust him. So now, let's talk about the eagle for a minute. Remember, I told you we talked about this before, but this is going to be a little different. God uses many examples from nature to describe the nature of people. And not the nature of people, but the nature of nations. Meaning he used the lion, the bear, the leopard. For Satan, he used the serpent. Jesus, the lamb shows his redemptive nature. And the lion shows his reigning nature. Then there's the eagle. The eagle, of course, represents Israel. Not only does it represent Israel, it represents the church. But not only does it represent the church collectively, it ought to represent us individually. We all should be eagles. I was looking at some top 10 things that people like to put as motivational speaker or motivational messages in the office, and it says, yes, eagles can fly through the storm of civil weasels. Never get caught in an airline engine. Okay. Yes, we're working in the office, understand that. All right. Eagle facts. Just quick here, we're going to get through this. What it says, the eagle is mentioned 32 times in Scripture, more than any other bird. He's called the king of birds, just as the lion is called the king of the jungle. Of anything made up of flesh and blood, pound for pound, the eagle is the strongest thing on earth. Pound for pound. Because there's rhinoceroses and there's elephants and there's all that, but pound for pound, they're the strongest thing on earth. Just a few little facts. Look at that. That's awesome. An eagle always builds its nest in the heights of the mountain, upon a rock, or up in a tree, if a catfish farm is up in the top of the tree. It will claim a rock, and he will never change rocks. When he's dying, he looks toward his rock. Something else that's amazing about an eagle is they mate for life. The eagle parents himself do everything together. You're seeing that going on right here. Say, well, there's two bald-headed. The male and female are both white-headed. Okay, they're both white-headed. All right. The cool thing that I really think about the eagle, I can tell when there's really a bad storm coming because you ride through a catfish farm. Go by and there's bad weather out and you don't see any of the birds fly. But you look up tall, way up in the air, and there's the eagle. You see, the eagle doesn't fear the storm. The eagle flourishes in the storm. Why? Two reasons. Number one is because the eagle has enough strength and enough power, and it gets in the air currents, and it flies above the storm. So it doesn't let the storm bother it. It sees the storm. The storm's going on. The storm can take it out of here, but it's above the storm. And number two is they have special shields in their eyes. Then when they're flying, it's a bad situation. The shields come down, and it's like wearing goggles. And so here's the eagle. The shields come down. It's like wearing goggles. It's flying through the storm, flies up above the storm. It's the only bird that does it. All the other birds actually will find a place to land and find a place to keep it safe. But the eagle, it soars. That eagle don't look so good, does he? There comes a time in an eagle's life when life gets to him. And when life gets to him, the eagle starts to stress. Usually between 30 and 40 years old, the eagle can live to be 70. So sometimes between 30 and 40, the eagle starts to get stressed out. You can tell it because now it's suffering loss. It doesn't have the abilities of its youth. How many know that one?
Amen.
Amen. The eagle begins a painful process of renewal. And after it begins this process of renewal, which is going to last about 5 months, the eagle finds restoration. So let's talk about this a little bit. Look at it again. Shall man wings his eagle? That's just so awesome. So awesome. All right. There's a serving power that we all have. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait means it's not a cessation of activity. It's not mean you just stop and just sit there and say, okay, God, do something. But it means you realign yourself to the activity. The activity's still going on. There's still problems going on. You still got weird Uncle Fred. You still got problems in somebody else, in your children's marriage, or you got a child that's running in school, or you got something going on. Doesn't mean those things stop. When you wait on the Lord, it just means that you back up and you realign yourself with whatever's causing you stress. You realign yourself with whatever is trying to take you down. So again, you don't stop. You just look around and take it from another way. That word wait literally means to bind or to twist. So, also not as not a sensation of activity but realignment, but that word to bind or twist means you combine your strength with an outside source. That outside source, part of it is us, each other, but another part of it is with God. So now, let's go a little further. Matthew 11:28-30. I thought it was kind of wild, too, that I didn't know I was going to be preaching this today until yesterday, or the day before yesterday when it started, and then yesterday I really worked on it hard. I was in B5 Monday, and there were some guys stressing. And I looked at Matthew 11:28. And I started reading it, and I began to tell them what I'm getting ready to tell you. And I just thought it all just kind of all goes together because these guys are locked up. They're stressing because of they can't get a hold of their family, or they're stressing because their family has needs that they can't meet, or they're stressing because they can't get out, or they're stressing because they don't know what their court date is going to hold. They're not sure what's going to happen. And so they've got the stresses, and I told them, I said, I know you might feel like these stresses might be unique to you in here, but there's a lot of people out there that's with their family and still can't do anything to help them. There's a lot of people out there that still don't know how they're going to make it. There's a lot of people out there that's going through the same thing, and I said, if you'll think about it for just a minute, I promise you there was times in your life before you got it here that you were going through the same thing. Matthew 11 addresses that. It says, come to me, all you that labor, exhausted physically, and are heavy laden, exhausted mentally. Have you ever been exhausted physically? This heat will exhaust you physically. Have you ever been exhausted mentally? Even the heat will exhaust you mentally, but when you're exhausted physically and the heat's hitting you, it will exhaust you mentally. You're going to have to hold on, because what happens is people get stressed out. I know the people that normally would have patience of Job, they get stressed out, they don't have the patience of Job anymore. People used to look at you and smile, "It's okay," and just smile. They're not looking at you and smiling. They're looking at you like they want to chew you up, spit you out. It's not because anything you've done is the stress within them. If you can get that in your mind, it's not you, it's the stress talking. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'll make you lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." That yoke is a device used to combine strength. It's synergy. If you can get up under that yoke, the two oxen get up under the yoke and they pull at the same time. The horses on the stagecoach, they have that yoke around them. That's so they can pull at the same time. And just a little side note here, that synergy. How much weight, this is all on averages, how much weight do you think a horse can pull? An average horse. I'm talking about a Clydesdale. An average horse can pull. Anybody? Huh? An average horse can pull 8,000 pounds. All right? When you put two horses together, you would think that would be 16,000 pounds, right? You put two horses together, and they can pull 24,000 pounds. Synergy. Because once you put synergy together, the drag's different, the amount. And Lou Holtz said, it's not the weight that kills you, or not the stress that kills you, or the things that's got you down that kills you. It's how you carry the load that kills you. And so, again, so a horse can pull 8,000 pounds. Two horses can pull 24,000 pounds. Wow. What a big difference. The same way, when we can yoke with God, that's what he says here, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." When you get up under his yoke and learn of his way he does things, then you're going to walk in sync. And when you're walking in sync, there's things around you that can be that normally would shatter you, but because you're yoked with him, it no longer does that. Okay? So now, there comes a time in the eagle's life, being 30 or 40 years old, that the eagle realizes, hey, I ain't got it anymore. Maybe even say, I can't take it anymore. Maybe even say, I'm not fit for this anymore. Don't anybody raise your hands. But lately, just lately, without raising your hands, have you said, I can't take it anymore? Have you said, I'm not fit for this anymore? Have you said, I don't know how in the world we can do this anymore? Anybody, don't raise your hands, but has anybody thought that? You see, the eagle realizes this. And if the eagle doesn't do anything, the eagle will die. Dornoff dead. The eagle will die. And so the eagle realizes this, God put something in it, and so it does something that brings renewal. And that word renewal means to pierce or change, abolish, alter, change, cut off, go forward, grow up, be over, pass away through, renew, sprout, strike through. So watch. Here it goes. Y'all ready? We're getting ready to talk about some good stuff here. Well, I think we are. Praise God. So now, here's the eagle. Bless the eagle's heart. See how pitiful he looks? You know what he's doing? He's getting ready to go through that painful process. He realizes there's a difficulty in his life. Number one, he no longer soars. Every bird known to man takes off by flapping its wings. But the eagle. The eagle leans into the wind and soars. It doesn't have to flap its wings. It just soars. And it can go so far because it doesn't give out. It doesn't get weary. But there comes a time when the feathers, at between 30 and 40 years old, the feathers start overgrowing. And as the feathers start overgrowing, his ability to soar and to fly and to do the things he normally would do is going away. You see, I'm just going to give you a little bit some more of those little fun facts. Did you know that an eagle has 20/4 vision? An eagle can spot another eagle 50 miles away. Wow. An eagle can fly over 100 miles an hour, and a 150 mile an hour dive can spot a rabbit 3 miles away. And at 150 mile an hour dive, take out that rabbit. Or in the fish pond, take him a fish and fly away. But between 30 and 40, he can't do that anymore. He can't see good. He don't feel good. He can't maneuver like he once did. Things are really, really, really starting to get kind of rough in the old bird's life. Not only can he not soar, he can't see. His beak and his talons get overgrown. His ability to hunt, his ability to defend himself starts fading away. There's no way he can be satisfied now. He's never satisfied. His ability is fading to do what eagles need to do. So God puts it in them. He's put it in you too. But so many times, what I'm getting ready to tell you that the eagle does if the eagle resists doing this, the eagle dies. And in the human way, if we resist doing this, we die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually and mentally and emotionally. So here's what goes on. He gets on his rock. When he gets on his rock, here's what he does now. That's just part of what's going on there, part of what's happening to him. But he has a time of seclusion. He pulls himself away. That was from the BBC, matter of fact, and I didn't want to show the whole thing. He has some productive pain. Remember, he's been in pain all this time, and now he's got productive pain. He pulls all of his feathers out. Wow. After he pulls his feathers out, he beats his beak against the rock until the beak breaks away. And before he pulls out his beak, he pulls out his talons. He's got no talons. He's got no feathers, and he's got no beak. He sits there, and all he can do is cry and wait. This is a 5-month process to get all the feathers out, to get the talons out, to get the beak broke off, and wait for it to grow back. So all he can do is sit on his rock and cry. Wow. He said, why in the world would he do that? Because if he doesn't, he's going to die. For protection, the other eagles fly above him constantly to ward off predators. Not only do they keep flying around to ward off predators, they know what he can eat. And so they fly above and they deliver whatever kind of food this eagle can eat. So there he is, 4 or 5 months, waiting for his beak, for his talons, for his hair to come back, looking up and all he does is cry and depend on the protection from above. And if he gets anything, it comes from above. Now, It's a powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. What happens is the mighty becomes dependent. The eagle waits for wings to grow back. In the middle of all this, it loses all of its self-dependence. Wow. It's learning to lean on God as its source. It's learning to lean on the other birds dropping food. And it learns the true meaning and example of a sacrifice of praise. DC the other day, when they had the crash car. Now, he said, Daddy, I've done this so many times as a paramedic. I've seen that with grandma. I've seen that when I said, with my daughter, 20 years old. And I looked at him and I said, I have no idea how you're feeling right now, son, but I can tell you how I feel. When they put the crash cart outside Bethany's room. And then eventually, they didn't even put it out there anymore. Because she said, unless I can come back and have a fruitful life, don't even try. I said, but one thing I did do in that cancer center is I walked up down the halls and I praised God and I thanked Him for being our creator and the master and having power of all situations. And it says at that moment, when you do that, there's a true sacrifice of praise, because now you're doing something you don't feel like doing. You're doing something you don't want to do. Those eagles, laying there with no way to defend themselves, no talons, no beak, no feathers, they're all just starting to come back, being fed from above, and as they cry for us, that will be our sacrifice of praise. Wow, that's so powerful. Wow. There's a productive pain, there's protection, there's provision, but then there's progress. Because eventually, in this 4 to 5 month process, the feathers and the beak grow back. And when they grow back, there's an oil sac on the chest. And the eagle, with his new beak, this was not crested over. This is not beat up. This is not chipped. This doesn't have calcium deposits on it. He goes down and he punctures the oil sac. When he punctures the oil sac, he spreads the oil all over his feathers. His sight comes back, and his agility returns. And he looks like he did years before. Wow. Our time of resolve. When we're going through stress, we're being beat up, slammed. I can't tell you how many times this week when I was in the cardiac ICU with Sierra or somebody else in the ICU somewhere else or somebody in a nursing home or just somebody going through something, and if I could hear it, I heard why so many times. I had no answers. There's times in our own life when we're going through this, and we have to find some productive thing. There comes a time when God allows this. You get in a time of seclusion. Elijah Elijah's on a juniper tree, seclusion. And he tells God, I'm the only one serving you. That was not true. But his stress was telling him a lie. Your stress will lie to you. He says, I'm going to die. Again, his stress was lying to him. And so God addressed it. We may talk about that later. I won't get into it now. But what you do is, when you get in seclusion, and you spiritually just start plucking out the feathers, getting rid of the old thoughts and the attitudes that got you nowhere. I don't know about you, but this thing here has got me in more trouble over the years. When you're in seclusion, you learn to say things different. When you're in seclusion, your old thoughts and attitudes are gone. When you get in seclusion, the talents, the way you do things, is pulled back, and the way you can defend yourself is different. What happens is you lose your self-dependence. And you begin to wait on God. And then the protection. You learn to lean on God as your strength. If God doesn't protect me, it ain't gonna happen. And God is our provision. Learn to lean on God as our source. If God doesn't provide, it's not gonna happen. So, in our time of resolve, man, that's a pretty end. Man, that is so pretty. The progress. Our life starts getting back in order. The Holy Ghost brings a fresh anointing. Our discernment is restored. And our agility returns. You see, just like the eagle, like us, some never make it. There's people that used to come to this church and come to other churches, and your family you lean to for your spiritual knowledge and for some spiritual yoking, spiritual strength, and they got in this position and they didn't get in seclusion and let God work on them, and now they no longer serve God. Or they serve God from a distance. Because they didn't get the best of them. The eagle, if it doesn't do this, it'll be destroyed before trying. And those who make it, though, they discover a new freshness, a new strength, a new boldness, a new freedom, and they begin to soar. I'm getting ready to close. Brandon, get ready to come play something. The choice is yours. Understand there's some things I'm never going to be able to play baseball with 20-year-olds and hold my own like I used to could. I know that. I used to not go basketball. I have a hard time even touching the net now. That may never change. But the inside, the Bible says, although the outer man perishes, the inner man can be renewed day by day by day by day. We've got to want it. And we've got to be willing. I want to be like that eagle right there. See him pulling that fish. I remember going by a catfish pond one day, and I saw the eagle come out of the tree and went down the catfish pond and pulled out a catfish. And went right on up and just kept on flying that way. And I saw the fish, it was a big one. It was just a wiggling, but it was over with. He got that fish. And then one day, Lynn and I were out for service on Sunday morning. She stopped right in the middle of the highway because two eagles were fighting over a fish. And they were in the middle of the air, twisting around, like you saw over there, twisting around. And I heard them screaming. And before I could get my camera ready, what happened was they pulled apart and the fish was cut in half. One along with the other, one fish, part of the fish, and the other one dropped. And I got in the road and there was a fish, half of the fish was that long. It was such a powerful, powerful thing I saw. Here's this week's assignment. You should listen carefully. How many lights away? I get aggravated waiting for a minute rise in the microwave. I'm ready to push the button before we get to the end. Remember, Mama cooked it rice. It took 25, 30 minutes. And here I am, a minute rice. And at 59, 55 seconds, I'm ready to pull it out. If sometime this week you experience an unexpected downtime, if you're riding up down 33, I can promise you, from here to Chocolatina, you're going to find downtime at least 5 times on the way for the last couple of months because they're doing the line work. And you get stopped, and you wait, and you finally get through. And after you finally get through, then jump by the time you get your speed up, you got to stop again and wait for another. I checked the other day, and it took me 20 minutes to get down Highway 33. Extra, 23 minutes extra. And I put in Garmin, coming to the church itself, is going to be here at 12, and I got here almost 12:30, and that's because of those delays. And I began to think of it like this. I had plans. My plans get interrupted this week, but I spent a lot of time in the cardiac intensive care unit. I had other plans. They got disrupted, got stopped, or here Tuesday night because of all this that was going on. And sometime this week, you experience an unexpected downtime. Here's my challenge. Learn to say this. Thank you, God, for this season of renewal. A season can be 5 minutes, a season can be 5 months. I like to say season instead of time. Because time, you never know when it's going to start, when it's going to stop. But a season has a starting and a season has a stopping. This week, as hard as it may be, if you, I'll say it one more time, you experience unexpected downtime. Don't you know that God knows that already? He doesn't look down at you and go, now that is not what I had planned today. I thought I wanted you to be here at 12 o'clock, not 12:30. Now, what are you doing about it? No, God already knew that when I got on the road, it was going to be, instead of a little after 12, it was going to be close to 12:30. He already knew that. So, if you can find a way, say thank you, God, for this season of renewal, because there's a reason why you got to wait. That's so hard, especially when I got ADHD. That is so, so hard. Watch this, I got ADD. Jesus rest. Are you stressing? You need some rest. Wow. That's a whole lot of questions. Take my yoke upon you and burn it with me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest to your souls. That didn't mean that you'd find rest physically. Unto your souls is your psyche, your thinking ability, your ability to talk with everybody and talk with God. You get so stressed out you can't even verbally get the words out. It says, take my yoke and learn me how I do it and walk beside me. Yoke up. you can find that rest in your mind, in your reasoning. Because I can't figure out why a 20-year-old needs to be in a cardiac intensive care unit. I couldn't figure out why a 27-year-old is going to die of cancer. Major stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff I can't reason. But the yoke of Christ, he can heal that mind. He can heal that heart, heal those nerves. And yes, I hate it when I see the fragment. I see him sitting there going slow, slow, slow. And I said, please don't turn that thing. And sometimes when I got started, I thought he was going, well, there was David. That simply can't make him mad. It better stop. That's not what he was doing. He got a radio. They tell him when to stop. They tell him when to go. Just remember, God's got you. Everybody that's team. Everybody stand. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in a year of drought, but does not cease to bear fruit. That's us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody looking around. We got a lot of things going on. Suppose this is the season of sickness. I've seen a bunch of people sick that normally they're not sick. There's a lot of things going on. But it's the season. And usually when there's a sickness, you have to wait. But instead of getting annoyed or letting it wear you down or pick away at your soul, learn just to stop and say, thank you, God, for this season of renewal, because I know something good's going to come out of this. I hate what's going on. I hate it. But thank you for the season of renewal, because I know something good somewhere, somehow is going to come out of this. We get bowed, every eye closed. Who was here today? First off, saved. I have felt a little extra stress. Just put your hand up on that. I felt a little extra stress lately. I'm here to say that little extra stress I think you kind of got to me. Would you say that? Be honest. Yeah. Mine has. I don't know how I sent my wife off in the gas station carrying the gas pump with her. That's when I knew this sermon was right for today. How many would say, I sure would love to come out shining on the other side of this? We're going to say a prayer together, okay? Here it is. Father, I renew and rededicate my life to you. I know that things can be stressful, but I also know that you're with me through it all. I know, God, that you have the power to overwhelm the things that overwhelm me. That you are mighty God, and nothing can stop what you're doing. Now, thank you for that. Help me to be able to thank you in times of waiting for that season of renewal that you got me in. I thank you, God, for all the things you do. Help me to learn the lessons, to not ask why, but to ask what you want me to learn. And let me learn it well. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I know it's painful, but it's worth it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I've said the Lord's Prayer. I've asked Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. God is so awesome.
All the time.
All the time. And just because you may be feeling some stress or allergies doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian. Doesn't mean that because you're going through something that you dropped the ball. Sometimes it's God allowing you to grow. So trust Him. Don't beat yourself up. After all this, we're going to talk about the ants. I don't think I'm going to call the name of the sermon. The ants can march in one bowl and hurrah, hurrah. I'm not sure. God is awesome. All the time.
All the time.
God is. All right, let's go say the Lord's Prayer, Brother Wayne's going to dismiss us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come, Father God, we thank you for the chance and the privilege to be able to come to thy house and sing a song of praise, hear thy word spoken to our heart, Father. Father, we thank you for the times you put us in time out, Father, to reflect upon the goodness of you, Father, and get the renewing of our souls and our spirits, Father. We thank you for just being there for us, Lord, and teaching us what we need to know and how we need to learn, Father. Thank you for that. Help us now to depart these doors, Lord, to bring us back to the next appointed time. This and all things I always ask in your Son's holy name. And to this I do say, amen and amen.